dwelling places for the Holy Spirit because they have not come to Christ and committed themselves for that. They're working counter to what actually God's truth actually is. You say, how can that be in a church? Remember how we said before, how could the children of Israel who saw the miracles get so far off the thing where God had to disown them for a while and send them off into captivity? How could that happen? The same thing happens in churches if we're not careful. We can get sidetracked from our true purpose and what God's trying to do. The unfortunate thing is when people go to a church looking for God and they happen to set foot in a church where people aren't serving God and aren't walking in a relationship with Him, it leaves that person disappointed, disillusioned, and then, unfortunately, the sad news is without hope. Because I thought that's where I was supposed to go, because that's, you know, Christians are supposed to worship God, so I'm going to go to church and I should be able to meet God. And they go there and they experience absolutely nothing any different than they experience anywhere else and walk away scratching their head. And actually can just sit there without hope and saying, must be there's nothing to this whole God thing. So the other place that people go, but it's not natural for people that don't know Christ to look at it this way. The place they're supposed to go is to us. People experience God and His presence when they come into contact with someone who's walking in a real relationship with Him. He said again, people experience God in His presence when they're in contact with those who walk in real relationship with Him. People can come into contact with somebody who's a true follower of Christ, who's yielded their life to Him and understands what they carry around inside of them, and they get the benefit for themselves, but they let it shine forth. A person comes into contact with that person, maybe at church, but it can also be at work. It can be while they're walking their dog, it can be at the gas station, it can be at the mall, it can be at the funeral home, it can be anywhere. And in that momentary interaction, they look at that person and they experience the presence of the living God and saying, wow, there's something different going on there. And they're drawn to it. I want you to think about these things, what the Scripture says about you and I as followers of Christ. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's an absolute statement. As a follower of Christ, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What that basically says, you are the earthly residence of the Spirit of the living God. It goes on and says this. There's another scripture in the New Testament that says this. Where two or three are gathered in my name, God says, there I am in their midst. When we come together today to worship God together, we're doing this in His name, in His character, in His nature, because He told us to do these things, and we want to do these things. When we come together, He says, I am there with you, because we bring Him with us, and His presence just floods the place. But it's not left to just church. You can go out this afternoon, if there's two or three of you who are followers of Christ, and you are together, He is there with you because you can't separate His presence from you. And like anything else, if you take one candle and hold it up, it shows a lot of light. But you bring two candles together and it's more light, you keep bringing more and more people and that light gets growing, growing, where you can actually, it shines forth for all to see. When we're together with common purpose and common mind as followers of Christ, that light, that presence gets stronger and stronger. There's something about that. The same idea when you put things together. You ever notice if you try to build a fire and you use one piece of wood, you can't get it to burn. Literally. You can if you get the right kind of wood. It's really hard to get fire to burn with one piece of wood. And sometimes it's hard to get fire to wood with just two pieces together. But if you put a whole bunch of pieces, and actually there's a science to that, that fires burn better with several pieces of wood. And when that happens, that fire burns to give off light and heat and all kinds of other things. And it's similar when two of us come together. Think about this for a second. You host God's presence as we speak today. You are a host of God's presence in the person of the Holy Spirit. And that presence, the Holy Spirit as the host, He wants to use you and me as a vessel by which he can pour out his presence to those around you. It's not just for you. It's not just for that blessing in your life, although it's a huge blessing of guidance and direction and everything else. His intention is that that presence in me and that presence in you, the Spirit of God wants to spill out of us as we carry that presence around and splash all over everybody around us. Why again? I'm getting ahead of myself. Why? Because God wants to walk in relationship with all men. He wants all people to experience his presence. People who want to know God, people who need to know God, you know, I say want to know God. Well, there's a lot of people that need to know God, but they don't want to because they don't know about it. I'm saying they want to know God even though they don't recognize that's what their need is or that's what they want. But they know they need something. And I would say those people are very ripe for the things of God. When a person wants to know God or needs to know God, they should be drawn to people like me and you. Why? Because we have within us the very thing that they're longing for. And the challenge for us is to live our lives in such a way that that Spirit of God shows regularly and spills out regularly. So that person who's, you know, I need something in life, think something's got to give, something's different, I know there's got to be more, that when they come into presence with us and spend any kind of time with us, there's something inside of them that catches for that second or that minute or two that's like, wow, what do they got? What is that? I think I might want to know more about that. You and I need to embrace this presence. We need to let it shine forth in all of its power and all of its glory. And here's the sad part. If you and I carry around the presence of God and we carry it and we keep it under lock and key and keep it selfishly all on the inside just for ourselves, it leaves people around us disappointed, disillusioned, and without hope. Because it was never meant to be something that we keep secret or keep locked on the inside. The neat thing about this is you don't have to hoard God's presence because there's more presence than you and I could ever use. So we get this blessing. In fact, the best blessings come when we let his presence flow in us and through us and out to other people. Because we begin to realize there's an endless supply of God's power and his glory and his might and his presence and all those things there. You say, yeah, but you get tired sometimes. But the thing is, when you're serving God and you get tired, you can always get back into that spot again where you focus on his presence in your heart again and he fills you back full to overflowing again. And it's a constant process that goes on throughout our life. What we don't want people to do is this, is to say something like this. They talk about this God, they talk about following this God, and I thought that they followed this God, but when I spend time with them, when I visit with them, when I go to their home, or we go to a ball game, or we go do something, there is absolutely nothing any different about them than anything else I've ever experienced. That would be a sad statement. If that's people's response to us as they get to know us, they're no different than anybody else I've ever met. If that's the case, we're doing something drastically wrong, because the very presence of God that's within us, if we're walking that out and we're yielded to his power and his presence, when we come into people's contact, we can't keep it from splashing out. We can't keep it from affecting. People might not understand. They might even say we're a kook because of what they experience around us. And I'm not saying being weird for being weird's sake or being different just to be different. We don't have to work at that. If you're a follower of Christ, you're automatically going to be different, and some people are going to say you're weird. But it's going to get their attention because it's different. It's different than our lives should be exhibiting something that people can't experience anywhere else except in the presence of God. My prayer for all of us is that it would never be the case with me or with you or in any of our gatherings, that somebody would say, I thought that they were followers of God. I thought that I could find God when I came into their contact or spent time with them, but I haven't. May that never be. Instead of that, may you and I and the gatherings when we're together, whether it be all together in church on a Sunday morning, when our home groups gather together, when we go out to dinner together, when we spend a meal together, when we go anywhere together, or when we're on our own, that God is clearly present with us. I'm going to tell you right now, that fact and that fact alone, if we get into that and we start letting his presence shine forth, that will draw people and fulfill their deepest needs better than any program we could ever put together. Now, it's not that programs are wrong. A program that actually helps us do that is beneficial. But thinking that the program and the organization of the program is going to get the job done is just, it's just 21st century American Western thinking, that we can put a program together to accomplish what it is, because there's a God factor in this, which is the fact that God himself is looking to walk in relationship with people to restore what sin destroyed in the garden. And if we will tap into that and realize that we carry that presence and let it shine forth, people will be drawn to that. We won't always have, it's right to go to them, but as, and we, I think it was Bob Sorge when he was here 2 years ago at the conference, the North Country Ministers Conference, not the one we just had, but a year ago, he talked about this, that what really should be happening is there's such significant things when people attend our service, when we're together, that they sense God's presence in a real way, that when they go home, they're not talking about anything other than the fact that, I never experienced that before, but if I had to tell you, God was there. It was this weirdest thing. I don't know how to explain it, but God was there. If that's what we want people to see, not the fact that, oh, they had awesome music and the speaker was kind of interesting. What we really wanted to walk away is, so there's this thing that I can't quite put my finger on, and I've never experienced it quite that way before, or never seen it, but you know what? It made me feel good here. That puzzlement. Because God's presence does that. That will draw people. That will keep people. Because Jesus said what? It's the truth that sets you free. The truth about him in encountering with his presence. And I want to tell you this again. Don't let this escape our attention. You and I play a very key role in this whole process of God wanting people to walk in relationship with him like they did, like he did with Adam and Eve, to restore that. No, Jesus played the key role of making it possible, but you and I play a very important role in God wanting people to experience him. This is really serious stuff. Maybe you've heard this all before, but I'm telling you, this is the most serious thing that goes on in our world today. It's all throughout Scripture. Throughout Scripture, one of the probably the biggest theme and probably the central theme of that is throughout Scripture is God giving us example after example of example of people who walked in God's presence and the result it had on their lives and the results it had on other people's lives, along with those who forsook or turn their back on God's presence and the effect that it had on their life and those around them. Because God's trying to get our attention. This truth that I'm talking about today, about the presence and the importance of the presence of God, was actually spoken about when Dan was here last week. And I want to assure you that I did not talk to Dan about what to preach about. I've told him months ago a couple times that what we're doing is preaching through the Bible, but I didn't put anything on that in him. I just want him to come and seek the Lord. And so I also know Dan is you're used to seeing him flamboyant and what he does up here, and he's different than I am, which is wonderful. But Dan is a very humble person, and I know it was very hard for him to open that message last week the way he did, to stand up in front of all of us and say, guys, this is not just another sermon. The reason he was saying that is because in the hours that he spent seeking the Lord on our behalf, God imparted a message to him that he was convinced was very important, not just for last week, but for ongoing for us as a church. And Dan is prophetic in nature. He has a gift, and he's had that, I believe, ever since God saved him. God probably placed that in him from birth, and he discovered it when he got saved. And he has spent years and years and years and years honing that gift, yielding it to God, and then trying to be obedient as best he can. He did ask me one thing before the message last week. He said, Kyle, is it okay if at some point during the service, if the Lord prompts me to be able to go out in the crowd and share what God is saying to individuals? And I said, absolutely. And so you look at that again. That's not a person who's bold and brash. It's a person who's what? Yielding to what? The authority in the house, which is me as the pastor. He's saying, is that okay? And I said, please do. I want to turn the gifting and the presence of God loose on all of us and see what he does. Many of you heard things, and there was one person that told me very specifically, he said things that I haven't even told my wife before. And it's not because I talked to him about anybody. That's a stamp right now that God knows where we live. He knows what we think. He knows what we feel. He knows what we need, and he knows how to speak in our language. And we just got a taste of that. But all that said, there's something that Dan said last week, and it ties right in with this idea of presence. These are his very words in the middle of the message last week. He said, "Today, I will begin to exalt the presence of God in this church as we walk with him." And so here I am this week talking about the presence of God. And it's not that I did it because the message last week. I was looking through all the readings this week, and I tried to do this week was, I caught, which we haven't gotten to, which we're going to get to in a few minutes here. I was caught by King David's advice to his son Solomon when he was about ready to embark on building the temple. And then I read the Old Testament part first on Monday, or on Tuesday, all the way through, and I couldn't get past. I think that's where the message comes from. I get to 1 Peter, and guess what's going on in 1 Peter? It's talking about being living stones and being built into a temple. And I thought, holy cow, this is exploding all over. And then as I'm thinking about that, Dan talked about what? The presence of God and the importance and how God wants to manifest his presence in our midst. Today, I'm not sure is a magic thing about last week today. It's in this time, I will exalt the presence of God in this church as we walk with him. My question is, why would God want to do that? Why would God want to exalt his presence in our midst? Why? Is it because we're special? No. Is it because we're great? No. Is it because we do everything right? No. Why? Because God desperately wants to come and be with us. Every time throughout the Christmas season you hear Emmanuel, every time I want you to think of this, God with us. Jesus Christ left the splendor of heaven to come to a hellhole. It's awful here. You say, it's not that bad. That's because we haven't seen heaven. Because we haven't seen what it's like to be in the presence of the living God where there is no sin. And Jesus left that perfection to come here for one reason, to be with me and to be with you. So every time throughout the Christmas season, you hear that term, Emmanuel, whether it's sung by a Christian or not sung by a Christian, if you happen to be at a school concert that comes across, or you happen to be shopping that comes across, my prayer is that in that moment we would hear Emmanuel and recognize God with us. God wants to be with me. He wants to be with you. He wants to be with everybody in the store that heard that. Unfortunately, most of them don't know what Emmanuel means and the significance of it. He wants to come and be with us. God wants to bless us. He wants to meet our needs. He wants to fulfill the deepest longings that were cut and the barriers that were brought up because of sin. He wants to enter into our lives and walk with us on a daily basis. He wants to shine forth through those willing vessels so that all can see, so that anybody in the earth that's searching and needs answers and desperately wants to know God can experience that same presence. That they recognize it's not just for a select few. It's for anybody that will bow their knee to Christ. Now let's look very quickly here at the advice that's given to Solomon. So we've made this statement. God wants people across the world in all generations and all time to be able to walk in relationship with him, to experience his presence. And he uses people like you and I throughout time, throughout history, and going forward to be the residence of his Holy Spirit so that he has a place to dwell on the earth and vessels by which he can pour that presence out to other people. Now let's take a look at some advice that David gave to Solomon that I believe fits very well. Okay, when Solomon was about ready to build the actual physical temple in the Old Testament, David, his father, gave him some direct instructions from the Lord. Okay? We're going to look at them in just a second. Now, The temple that you and I are being built into, being that temple of the Holy Spirit, and being built into that temple of the Holy Spirit is just as important, if not more important, than what was going on then, because you and I host the actual physical presence of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come or go. It comes and it stays. It's a very significant thing. So in that sense, you and I are being built into the temple. Solomon was preparing to build the temple. So let's take a look at the advice that David gave him, that God gave through David. And this is in 1 Chronicles 28. First off, this is the end of that passage, and it says, consider now, Solomon. Put your name in there. Consider now, Jeff. Consider now, Becky. Consider now, Norm. Consider now, whoever. For the Lord has chosen you to build a house as the sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. It's a personal message. Don't look at your neighbor and say, see what they're telling you to do? This is, consider now what we've talked about, and hopefully I've shown you through the New Testament language that we're being built into the temple, that this is a process that is going on so that we will host the presence of God, and that's what it means to be the sanctuary. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. Do you see the seriousness of the work that was going on? It's easy for us to say, boy, Solomon had this monumental task because he's building the actual temple where God was going to reside. Do you realize that that process is going on in you and I as we speak, because God is dwelling with us and wants to continue to do that in a more effective way right along? It's a serious thing. Do you see the importance of hosting God's presence well? I do not have time to do this, but this will be great home group leaders, a great discussion to talk about. It's not even in the questions, but it comes to me right now in your home group this week to spend some time talking about, what does it mean to host somebody? To host a meal, to host somebody overnight, to host somebody for a week, to host somebody for a year. What's that all about? How does that all work? And to recognize you and I actually are playing that host to the living God. Another thing that's given in that command, 1 Chronicles 28:8. Be careful to follow all the commands of the Lord your God. And by now, some of you may start rolling your eyes and saying, how many times do we have to go over this? This is all we've talked about since we started reading in Genesis over and over again of be careful to follow the commands of the Lord our God. Following God's commands is of vital importance if we're going to host God's presence and make it available to others. God would not have given that command to Solomon to be careful to follow the commands if it did not have not just benefit for Solomon, but if it was of vital importance of what he wanted to do in pouring out his Spirit and his presence to all mankind. And so you and I would be wise to recognize it's not just another redundancy that we're supposed to glaze over. The bottom line is, if we get the fact that God is trying to get in relationship with as many people as possible and have them experience his presence, it's going to be this. There's a direct link. There's a direct link between my obedience with God and your obedience to God and his ways and experiencing God's presence in our lives. Let me say that again. There is a direct link of the degree of obedience to God's truth and the degree of the presence that we experience in our own personal life. And I'll say this again. There is a direct link to the degree that God's presence splashes and flows out of us is linked directly to the degree that we follow and obey his commands. Let me put it this way very clearly. If you choose not to obey God's commands, even though you name God as Lord and Savior, that presence diminishes in your life. And if you keep doing that, that presence continually diminishes. All you've got to do for the physical example, that read about the children of Israel. And they went from seeing miracles of God to pagan worship. And you and I are just as capable as followers of Christ. That's why he said, be careful to follow God's commands. If you want to experience God's presence in your life and you want the presence of God to flow out of you, how do you do that? obey and follow his commands. He also said this in the next verse. Acknowledge the God of your father. Now that language of the God of your father. So David is speaking to who? His son Solomon. When he says acknowledge the God of your father, he's saying, Solomon, my son, acknowledge the God who you have seen me serve and walk in my whole life. What God is challenging us to do here is to grow in our understanding of God and grow in our understanding of his ways. He's challenging us to become familiar with God and become familiar with his ways. He's challenging us to really know him, to truly know him experientially, because we've walked with him in the good and the bad. And I want to tell you this again. There is a direct link to the depth of our relationship with God and the presence of God that is in our life and flows out of us. The deeper my relationship is with Jesus Christ, the deeper my relationship in the intimacy of my walk with God deepens and makes the presence of God more profound in my life and more profound when you interact with me. If my relationship with God is suffering because I'm disobedient or I'm neglecting time with him or I'm too busy for this or too busy for that, you know what happens? His presence is diminished in my life. And it's also when you interact with me, you don't experience God's presence the way it should be. And the challenge on this is we are hosting, which means there's some control that goes on in how we yield. And that's why God, he said, be careful to follow the commands and acknowledge, which means get to know him, spend time with him, develop that relationship. Final thing he said, serve him with wholehearted devotion and a willing mind. He's challenging us. Give your life completely to him. What does that mean? That you live a life that is dedicated to one thing and one thing only, and that's service to your Maker. That it's no longer what do I want, it's what do you want. And that includes every area of life. What you do for a job, what you do for entertainment, who you marry, what relationships you have, how you spend your money, how you spend your time, all of those things. Serve him wholeheartedly. So we're challenged to live that life completely yielded to him. We're challenged to, ready, not just to serve, but to willingly serve. There is a big difference between the two. We serve, what God is looking for is those that will serve him because they want to and can't keep themselves from doing that rather than because they have to. And I will tell you right now, as a person who is a minister, as a pastor who's called of God to minister to the needs of people, that's a challenge. Because I'll be honest with you, I've been guilty numerous times in my life of serving God because I have to. And I'll tell you one thing, that's not good. It's not good for me, and it's definitely not good for the person on the receiving end. Because that's not the way it works. Because here's the thing, ready? There's a direct link again between our willing service, our willingly devoting our life to God because we want to, not because we have to. There's a direct link with that degree of a willing servant's heart and experiencing the presence of God in our life and the experiencing of God's presence through us. Okay, as we close. There's a challenge laid out here. The challenges that David gave. But it starts with this. First off, I'll have to say it one more time. Do you and I recognize how desperately as individuals we need the presence of God? Don't think about anybody else right now. Think about yourself for just a second. Do you recognize how desperately you need the presence of God? Here's the hard part. We don't even recognize how desperately we need it because we forget what it was like before he came and made residence there. If you can, think for just a second what your life was like before you gave your heart to Jesus Christ. If you spend time thinking about that, it's like, yeah, I desperately need his presence because I don't ever want to go back there again. God has drastically changed me. Do we recognize how desperately those around us, whether they acknowledge it, whether they vocalize it or not, do you and I recognize how desperately the people around us need the presence of God? We should be thinking about that. Instead of getting angry when the crowds are busy this holiday season, when you hear Emmanuel there and you're about ready to bark at somebody because they cut in line or the checkout lady's too slow or you've got 50 things to do and only half the time to get it done, to take a look when you hear God with us and look at the throngs of people around you and realizing, they need Jesus. God wants to walk with them. Do you and I realize that God's plan is to dwell in me and dwell in you, and then he wants to let that presence permeate our entire being in such a way that it shines for all to see. Just like when Moses would go into the tent of meeting and he'd spend time with God and he'd come out and he literally would glow. That's what God wants to do, is for us to recognize that presence, spend time in that presence, foster that presence, so that when we come out and go into the world and interact with people, we shine. His glory shines forth. So a question for you. Will you and I embrace this challenge and give ourselves to it? Why? On a personal note, so that we can daily walk in his presence and live a truly fulfilled life which God has for us. And beyond that, so that we can offer that presence to a world, to people that desperately seek it and need it and are looking for answers. There's another thing in 1 Chronicles 28. It's a little bit of a harsh truth, but we're going to close with this one. If you seek him, he'll be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you. That was the message that David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave to his son in the building of the temple, which was going to house the presence of God for hundreds of years in the Old Testament. And he says the same thing to you and I today. If you'll but seek me, if you'll come to me, if you'll pursue me, you'll find me. But if you forsake me, turn your back on me, choose to go your own way, I'll reject you. It's that simple. You seek him, you'll find him. And his presence will dwell with you as long as you keep seeking. And it will grow, it'll get rich, you'll be blessed, and other people around you will be blessed. But if we forsake him, we ignore him, we pursue the world and other things ahead of him, his presence will first off begin to diminish, and after a while, his presence won't even be a part of our life anymore. The question is, how bad do you and I want it? First and foremost, we can get selfish for just a second. How bad do you and I want it for ourselves? But I want to stretch our thinking this morning. How badly do you and I want to be a part of fulfilling God's plan to restore his ability to let his presence shine forth to our friends and our family and our neighbors and strangers and anybody that's really hungry and needy? Do we want it bad enough to actually heed the advice that God gave to Solomon through David? Going back to that again, what? Consider how important this is. Be careful to follow and obey my commands. Acknowledge God, which is get to know him and do those things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize, many of us recognize, how desperately we need you. Lord, remind us of that. Don't let us forget that. Don't let us take it for granted that we have your presence readily available. Lord, I pray that there would be a deepening in our understanding of the seriousness and the call that you have on us and the purpose you have on us, which is to be the residence of your Spirit. Help us to dig deep in that. I pray that we would really heed your call, heed your warning, to be careful to obey your commands, to recognize that as we continue to walk out life to the degree that we're obedient to you and seeking to obey and understand your law and follow it and apply it in our life, it only deepens and makes your presence more profound in our lives and more profound in the lives of people around us. Lord, help us to acknowledge you regularly, to spend time with you, to get to know you, to understand who you are, and to walk intimately and close with us and experience the fullness of your presence as you flood our lives because we're spending time with you. And again, as it splashes out into those around us. And Lord, help us to catch, even if it's glimpses and moments, of recognizing your love and your compassion to a lost world. How it breaks your heart to see people who are still suffering under the curse of sin, who are separated from you and don't even know that they can walk in relationship with you, although their hearts cry out to want to know you in a real way, or something different, or needing a change, or needing deliverance, whatever it is they're hungry for. Lord, help us to see how your heart breaks for that and how you have spent thousands of years working to make it possible for people today to experience your presence. And Lord, help us to recognize that we play a vital role in that. Lord, help us to get past our selfishness and what's in it for me, to begin to look at it, to serve wholeheartedly and willingly, because we know that we can brighten our little corner and let the people around us have a chance to experience the authentic presence of Jesus. Lord, we pray as we gather together that we would not be like your people of old, that we would not forget the things you've told us to do, that when we gather, you would be the central focus point, that we'd walk in obedience to you, that we would rejoice and celebrate and worship you, our Maker, and that people that set foot in our meetings would walk away saying, God's there. I got to go back and experience it again, and you should come with me. Lord, help us to walk in such a way. Help us to change our thinking and see the seriousness of what's laid out in front of us. Lord, don't let people come into our individual relationship, our individual contact, and walk away saying and disappointed because they thought they might experience God and didn't. Lord, help us to walk out in such a way that your Holy Spirit presence splashes over everybody and everything around us. We thank you, Lord, that you paid a price that we couldn't afford, and then you went a step further to choose to use us as vessels set aside to house your Spirit, to house your presence in the earth today, and by which you could pour that presence out over people that need to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. You got something to add to?